And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, March 1st. Yes, 2 months down, 10 to go in 2026. We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. The Sports Byline Broadcast Network, of course. Shout out to producer Dom, producer Bailey, all of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM kids. If you don't know what that means, ask your parents. Apps like TuneIn, iHeart, everywhere else you can get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice, and I give thanks for that. An extra special shout out to those, of course, listening on the American Forces Network around the world. Scary times these days, a lot happening. I don't have to tell you that. But we thank you for your service each and every day. And our thoughts are with your families and you, depending where you're deployed in the world. And come home safe. Be safe, please. I'll be with you for the next hour with a lot to talk about, per usual, filling in for Andrew Zarian today. What to talk about? Well, the road to WrestleMania, no stops left, other than TV, of course. But there's a lot of decisions to be made. We had some clarity last night with Sunday's Elimination Chamber. So we had a little early WrestleMania preview coming today. Danhausen. Yes, Danhausen is now hashtag all AEW. Sorry, all WWE. I screwed up my own joke. He is in WWE. Made his debut last night. We'll chat about that. Triple H apparently didn't want to get booed. Why? How? That to come. Of course, we had AEW Collision last night. And it was a little bit quiet, of course, with going up against WWE, but we'll talk about that. The Paramount WBD deal, WWE financials, a lot of our few things that happened this past week and will happen the week ahead. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, back from vacation. More to come. Coming after the break, WWE, AEW, and the rest of the pro wrestling world. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason coming right back after this. Back with you in Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, March 1st. Yes, we're here. My name is Josh Nason. I'm filling in for Andrew Zarian this week. Let's talk about Elimination Chamber. Let's talk about WWE's big PLE taking place last night at the United Center. Yes, United Center in Chicago, Illinois. I want to lead off with this because we could talk about Randy Orton. Could talk about Rhea Ripley, I guess. But I want to talk about Danhausen. Yes, Danhausen, the one and only, making his WWE debut last night. A sentence that I never thought would come out of my mouth. Danhausen appearing. He was the mystery thing in the mysterious crate that appeared a couple weeks ago on TV. And that Raw GM Adam Pearce had won nothing to do with. And SmackDown GM Nick Aldison seemed to want anything to do with because apparently knew kind of what was going on. Or there's something they just didn't care about, which is kind of an interesting thing. An annoyance. I don't know if that was, assume it's kind of a hat tip to the character that was coming. And then they open up the crate and decide to both walk away. Very theatrical. And out popped Danhausen in a coffin. Actually, the coffin opened up first. Creaking noise. And then some vaporettes. Some dancers came out. And out popped Danhausen looking, you know, exactly like he had before. And yeah, he came out and gave Michael Cole some teeth. Walked in the ring. Did a little dance. Had some a very light pyro, and then lights went out, and that was it. So Danhausen is in WWE, and of course, after a long run in AEW Ring of Honor, I don't suppose he thinks it should have been that long. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, there's as always with everything in life, there's conjecture back and forth between the two tribes. People saying this is great, people not liking it, people saying he was booed and all this. I mean, I've watched the clip a bunch of times, and yeah, it was. Look, I applaud WWE for bringing him in. It doesn't feel like their type of signing, but that's exactly why I like it. And WWE took a chance, and I think they deserve to be applauded for it. Do I know this is going to turn out? I have no idea, but I think that's the good thing. In wrestling, you know, there's. When you're number one, you're less prone to take chances because you are number one. You get more conservative, more, not in the political sense, but you become just more conservative and you take less chances. This, you know, talk about AEW, I think sometimes they should take more chances. But they are a little bit conservative as well, but, you know, there's there. We could argue that too. But this certainly did not feel like a main roster sign. This felt like, if they're going to bring him in, like an NXT surprise thing. And that would get a huge pop on that show. But no, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him. If he's going to be a full-time wrestler, a comedic character. And I mean, the R-Truth pairing just seems to happen to be there. And WWE and all rosters in wrestling kind of need this, is some levity. And a wacky, unique character that can pop up. And I think it's going to take a while for a WWE audience to understand who he is. The indie audience knows. You and I know listening to this. But it's going to take a while for the general populace to understand who he is. And I think they have must have a good idea on how to do this. But the idea that if he's booed or things like that, you know, again, I've watched this. I think they booed that he didn't really maybe do anything after, you know, the lights went out, and I think they kind of booed that. But I don't think they're booing the whole segment or the fact that he appeared. It was a moment. You know, were they going to get Chris Jericho coming out of box? Probably not. And now I think we know that the tease for when Jericho eventually gets to WWE, which I still think will happen at some point, is going to be when he disappears off the AEW roster page. Danhausen disappeared off the roster page a day ago. And that was kind of the tell. Of course, he mentioned Freedom the other day. And I feel good for him. I think that's one of my prevailing sentiments here. I feel really good for him. He was a guest on the now defunct Josh Nason's Punch-Out. We'll talk about that later, perhaps. But I interviewed him, and I'd seen him on the indies, and just super over, a wacky character, and very indie friendly, very successful in that. And he had been, I really feel good for him, one, because, you know, he was 35 and actually probably never expected to be in the big dance, the big one, and he made it. And he, as I wrote last night in the news story about this, that the move ended a multi-year run in AEW Ring of Honor that was marked by long periods of inactivity and frustration about that inactivity. He was under contract, and he hadn't wrestled in AEW since December 2023. We're sitting here talking Sunday, March 1st in 2026. He hadn't been in Ring of Honor since February 2024. And he made that appearance at Final Battle, I believe, at December 2024. But they didn't bring him back. And that was it. And his contract was... This is the thing that kills me, right? And no matter what side of the fence that you're on, from a human being standpoint, when they extended his contract, because supposedly it was going to reportedly set to expire last summer, and then it got extended against his wishes. And I don't blame him. There was no reason they needed to keep him around. That was just, he was getting paid, I'm sure, but unnecessary. They hadn't used him in well over a year. Let him go. And he finally did. And I hope he has a great run in WWE. I think he could be fun in NXT appearances. He could be fun. I mean, again, the Mr. Iguana, some sort of comedy characters there. I think there's a lot that they can do with this. And look, R-Truth isn't going to be around forever. We see they tried to cut him once, and I think we kind of know what's going to happen the next time around. They kind of need wacky characters like this. Maybe they sign him to a 2-year deal, 3-year deal. Who knows? I'm glad he's getting paid. I'm glad he's getting an opportunity. I'm glad extra people, or more people rather, are going to get to know who he is. And I think as time goes on, he'll become a cult figure, and this would be a good test for WWE creative. But I think people should be happy for guys like this who just were put on Guantanamo Bay and not used, and we have no idea why. Getting paid, yes, but a lot of these wrestlers like to work and wrestle. And to their credit, he was working a lot of indies. He was staying busy. But people like to wrestle and have opportunities to being a bigger promotion. So I'm sure he'll appear in TNA at some point as part of that relationship. So there's a lot they can do with someone like this. He's a notable character. And again, I feel really, really good for him that he's getting this. And again, applause to WWE for doing this. It's something different. Something else different they did last night, something I didn't think a lot of people expected, was Randy Orton winning the Elimination Chamber. And Randy Orton's going to WrestleMania. He will take on the champion, who could be Drew McIntyre. It could be Cody Rhodes. Do the events of the end of Elimination Chamber. Not the most exciting combo for Mania. If it was a singles match between Orton and Drew, I don't think that's going to happen. Again, it's kind of this thing of, and we'll find out this Friday. I'm sure we'll finally kind of get the, really kind of start moving this thing forward the next week or, you know, 2 weeks, is what are we doing with this main event? Is it going to be a multi-man match, which is pretty crazy considering the Elimination Chamber is a multi-man match to determine a contender? But it seems there's just a lot of questions about Jacob Fatu and Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Now Randy Orton is in the mix, and you know, who knows about Sami Zayn and people like that. Rhodes could win this Friday, win the title, and then he goes against his own pal, Randy Orton, defends the title at Mania. There's a lot of backstory there. I think I talked about that in a previous episode of this, this very show. So there's some intrigue there. I guess, I mean, you could do a three-way with Drew. It just depends on how they get there. Could do a four-way. But it just seemed that that title is a bit cold and not a lot of excitement, a lot of the same characters, when Raw seems to be just a little bit more, actually a lot more prevalent. It's going to main event the second night. A little bit more exciting. And Orton, yeah, I mean, he's got the RK and all this stuff. I just, it's kind of a been there, done that. And I think these are things we need to start to kind of transition over. Again, they did great surprise things with Danhausen. I think we need to start planning, kind of moving guys up the ladder a bit, having big stories, big matches, the younger talent, new talent in the future, mainly Jacob Fatu. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Elimination Chamber, Triple H, and some AEW. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason, back with you Sunday, March 1st. Thank you for joining me, as always, filling in for Andrew Zarian. Let's keep going on Elimination Chamber. So we talked about Randy Orton, and we don't know what's going to happen. Of course, if you watch the show, I'm sure at this point you kind of know what happened. Drew McIntyre interfering, Nick Aldis getting upset afterwards and making this title match between Rhodes and McIntyre this Friday. The feud that will never die. And hopefully it does at some point. And this will give us a little bit of clue of what's going into Mania. We also had, of course, on the women's side, we are now confirmed for Rhea Ripley taking on Jade Cargill. I like that match. It's different. It's very different. And I think it's a match that, you know, two sizable women, you know, not smaller like... like, for example, AJ Lee, when the women's Intercontinental title. You have two women that are tall and have stature and have a physical presence. That's kind of what I'm trying to get to. I think it's fun. First time ever, I do believe. And they both have the aura and they both have a thing. And I think you're going to get a holy bleep chant when they first stand across the ring from each other. I think they're going to milk that a little bit, as they should. And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun. Will it be a great wrestling match? This is a good test for both women. For Rhea, she's one of the top stars in the women's division and the company in general. Well known. I expect her to win this. And Jade is a movie star look, action star look come to life. I think she's miscast in wrestling. And I think it is what it is at this point in terms of in-ring ability. WWE doesn't put a high emphasis on that, as we know. But we'll see how this. She has a star look, and everyone's known that since the first day she stepped on the AEW stage. She's got it, but the in-ring is not there to match that. I think she's defended the title once since winning it. Has been pointed out quite a bit, and yeah, I think this will be fun. Should be short, but this will be a fun build as well, and a good indication of kind of where Jade's at. I have no concerns about Rhea, but Rhea Ripley winning the chamber, earning the shot. That should be good. As I mentioned earlier, AJ Lee winning the women's Intercontinental title at Elimination Chamber, if I can say that correctly, defeating her rival Becky Lynch. I'm sure that will continue at WrestleMania. I don't think AJ is going to go back out to TV on a weekly basis to sign a part-time deal. Sure, there'll be a lot of build to a rematch at Mania, perhaps some sort of stipulation on the line, something like that. I don't think just a straight-up rematch, but I think you're going to see some interesting things there. What else do we have? We had Randy Orton, Danhausen, Seth Rollins. Of course, I should mention, another been the big headlines for the night was Seth Rollins returning and attacking Logan Paul at the Elimination Chamber in the men's match. That kind of led into the finish a little bit. Logan Paul was eliminating people left and right, taking advantage of other people's finishers being hit on Trick Williams, Javon Evans, and also LA Knight. And then finally, there was a masked man tried to climb the fence, the chamber. He gets escorted away. And then another masked man appeared, and it turned out to be the one and only Seth Rollins, who is back. So I'm sure we'll see him on Monday Night Raw. And that sets up a pretty good match for Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania. Because everyone else in the division's hurt. You got to have someone doing that, right? Paul Heyman, they have the reaction shot. The camera fixed on him perfectly, but Seth Rollins has returned. And yeah, we'll see babyface Seth Rollins, I guess, huh? Going up against the Vision. It does hurt that people like Bron Breakker is out and Bronson Reed and so on. So how they recalibrate things after this will be very fascinating to see. I'm sure it'll be Rollins versus Austin Theory, and then you will have the setup for the Logan Paul match, which I believe is first time ever. The fact I'm saying that also should point out to you why it is okay to have these matches made more often on TV. It's because there's so much wrestling, people just forget. I was looking last night, I mean, Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton wrestled like four times last year, including that tag team match with Jelly Roll and Logan Paul at last year's SummerSlam. They wrestled on Saturday night's main event. I don't remember anything about those matches. What's in the past is in the past. And with so much wrestling on TV, I think AEW is starting to figure this out with some of their TV as well. You have certainly a recipe there for just make good, fun, entertaining matches and get people to tune in and people forget the rest. CM Punk retaining his title against Finn Balor. I assume that will lead to a Judgment Day turn on Finn Balor that most people are expecting. And that will then lead to a match at Mania between Dom and Finn Balor as the Demon when he'll win the Intercontinental title from Dom. Maybe it's a double title thing. Wins a AAA mega title as well. So you see that. But overall, yeah, it was a newsworthy night, and that's kind of what we look for. WWE, you don't expect a lot of five-star matches and all that stuff. But it was newsworthy. Yeah, the Chambers, you had Danhausen. Got some Mania. The card is set, or some of the kind of the big matches are set with a lot more to go. And how are we feeling about this? How are we feeling about this year's WrestleMania card? Because for me, you know, you look for what am I most interested in? And so far we have CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. We'll have for the World Heavyweight title, that'd be, of course, on night two. Stephanie Vaquer against Liv Morgan for the women's title. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, or whoever against Randy Orton. Jade Carr against Rhea Ripley. And then Brock Lesnar versus TBD. Of course, this will be the open challenge. We'll have, which most people assume is going to be Obafemi. I don't think it'll be Gunther. I think that'll be something that happens at SummerSlam if Brock is going to retire at Minnesota, at SummerSlam in Minneapolis, I'm sure, with Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul. And yeah, we have kind of a fun, interesting card coming together. And that's really all you look for, the spectacle, the pomp and circumstance. And, you know, could be some surprises there. Who knows? Who knows? A lot to come before the road to WrestleMania. But overall, yeah, it was a show a lot different than last year's Elimination Chamber with The Rock and John Cena and so on. The only other note from the show was that, you know, they did the post-show, which I like that they do that. It's nothing really to be taken too seriously, but you get a few quotes out of it and so on, a couple of matches made and so on. But one of the things I was pointed out, that Triple H didn't come out to sit with the people. They have the stage in front of everyone at the I think the front of the United Center, inside anyway. And Triple H decided to do his stuff backstage with, I believe, Kathy Kelly. Did not want to come out because why? He would have got booed like he has been. That's the only reason he wouldn't do that. In past months, the you effed up chants and so on. It's been kind of a thing to start booing him. And what did he do? Or maybe it wasn't his decision. They decided to pull him back from that. This also follows the decision to not do press conferences, media things after, which is also something that's been pointed out quite a bit. Very interesting. This is a guy that they have really positioned to be the next Dana White-esque figure, and they cannot handle putting him out in front of a live crowd at this point or answering questions from wrestling media that aren't really that hard. It's very interesting, and it's either a lack of media training, it's either a lack of caring about that media training or so on. They're afraid he's going to say the wrong thing. Dana White says whatever he wants, UFC. We've seen that for the better part. I've been covering him since 2005, 20 years, 21 years. I said whatever he wants to whoever he wants, and that company just gets bigger and bigger. WWE as well, like that too. Actually made more revenue last year than AEW, and definitely the UFC, and so on. It is fascinating to me, and so many others, why they don't feel comfortable putting him out in front of a crowd. These are WWE fans they don't want to put him out in front of. Whose decision was that, and why? If he cannot handle doing that, and they don't feel that he can, I mean, he's going to have to be out in public at some point, right? In front of the fans. You're just going to make it worse. Kind of like Brody and the ice chants, Brody King in AEW. The more you try to show that you don't feel comfortable with it, the wrestling fans are always going to find that crack in the dam. That water is going to seep through, and they're going to make it, they're going to break the dam and make it a bigger thing. I don't know. They need a figurehead out there that's willing to be in front of the people. Now, is Vince out there all the time? No, but he was. He would come out, do segments, and get booed. He'd lean into his character and so on and so forth. But, you know, if they can't trust him, I just wonder about that long-term future. Obviously, the creative is what matters the most, but they like having figureheads. And I don't think, you know, Nick Khan is not going to come out there after in a post-show. But Triple H should be able to. He's been performing in front of fans for, what, 3 decades? From the indies all the way through, different characters and so on. He can't handle a crowd chanting at him? Was this his call? If not, is it TKO's call? Nick Khan's call? A collective? That's kind of my gut instinct. I don't know. Something stinks about that. Let's put a pin in that. Put a pin in that. Again, it goes back this whole Rock thing. I tell you, we talked about that in my last episode last week with Jack Encarnacion and Josh Nason's Punch Out and the Triple H future, how the Rock controls some things, how he just disappeared. We talked about this with John Pollock a lot from Pro Wrestling as well. Something's up. And it's going to play out at some point. I don't know when, but it just, there's something that feels off there. Wouldn't you agree? Let me know on Twitter or Blue Sky if you choose. Josh Nason, JOSH. NASON. When we come back, I promise we'll get some AEW. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Paramount WBD. What does it mean for AEW? We don't really know, but that's okay. Chat about that and more coming up next. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason back after this. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back with you on Sunday, March 1st. Thank you for joining me, Andrew Zering. We'll be back in the chair next week. I am fresh off vacation, thankfully. My wife and I headed out to the islands of the Bahamas. We headed to Nassau for the first time. Fun time, all-inclusive week. And one of those where you eat and drink whatever you want for a whole week, and you come back and you're like, boy, I feel like crap and all that. But hopefully people have school vacations and such. I know everyone's different all over the country and depending on what region of the world that you're in terms of getting your breaks. Hopefully you get out there. I know Brian Alvarez took a cruise a couple weeks ago with his kids. Paul Fontaine of our website as well went a big family vacation last week. So, and he had to change a tire. He said, I still got it. So that was good to see. And I bring this up not to make you feel bad if you haven't gone on a vacation yet. But I had the pleasure, quote unquote pleasure, of experiencing what it's like to try to find wrestling when you're in a different country. And I was thinking about this a lot this morning, how it is sometimes we take for granted the access that we have to stuff. I think it's starting to get less and less, especially if you're a sports fan and trying to find where where your team is playing a game on a given night. I'm pretty adept at this. I struggle sometimes to try and figure out, okay, where are the Celtics? I'm Boston guys. Where are the Celtics playing tonight? Are they playing on NBC? Are they playing on Peacock? Are they playing on my local affiliate, NBC Sports Boston? Are they here instead? Amazon Prime. It's hard. And we used to say, oh, senior citizens or older people, oh, we got to help them out. I mean, I have to Google search stuff a lot. So when I was in the Bahamas, I kind of did an informal test with how to find pro wrestling content. And so we actually brought our Roku Fire Stick with us. Good night, sometimes you chill out and hang out and all that, and you're looking for some TV to watch, or you've had a long day out in the sun. And so a great advice I would give you is to do that, especially if you need some downtime. And a lot of these places don't have smart TVs in terms of like apps you can easily access and so on. So we got there on Saturday. And so starting on Monday, I'm like, okay, I can get Raw and Netflix here, right? Yes, I could. So Raw, Netflix checked off the box. Tuesday, NXT, they actually had some local channels and they actually had the CW from the US. This is in the Bahamas. And so I was able to find that, no problem. Came to Wednesday, could not get Dynamite. I could get HBO Max, most of the stuff, not movies, TV shows. But I could not get AEW. I'm like, huh. And I was like, oh, that's right. I have a Triller subscription, AEW Plus, which I use for other things when I'm traveling. And so I was able to watch Dynamite and also able to watch Collision on AEW Plus. But I was thinking that's tough. You know, if you're Bahamas, there's no other way to kind of see this, I guess. At least I don't think. Thursday, I honestly did not think about TNA at all. I assume AMC is not available there, perhaps via rights fees or anything like that. I don't know if that's a carry channel in the Bahamas. And then Friday, SmackDown was fine because that was on. Actually, could I get that? I think I would have had to go to Netflix to watch that on there, I believe. Unless I got I don't think they had USA. So yeah, that would have been Netflix. And Saturday was a Collision and so on. But boy, if it is really difficult, if you're trying to find wrestling, you really have to think about how I'm supposed to watch this stuff. If I didn't have my stick, I couldn't get UFC because Paramount was blocked there or not allowed. Peacock, this was an annoying thing. Peacock, I could not get down there at all. I was trying to watch the Olympics, the Olympic channel, but I wanted to watch the USA hockey game. So I could watch it on TV, but it was 8 o'clock in the morning on a beautiful sunny day in the Bahamas. I did not want to stay in a room. And so I actually had to use my VPN. Peacock does not go through work with a VPN. I learned that. And I had to listen to it via iHeart app, where you might be listening to the show right now. I listened to the NBC Olympics feed through iHeart using my VPN. But boy, I imagine with it is going to get harder and harder. And you kind of think about these TV deals and Paramount WBD. That's my transition there. Is that this thing still has to get cleared, so it's not a fait accompli. And I know people are very concerned. You know, what's the future of AEW and all this stuff? Who knows at this point? Let's wait for one thing to happen first. Could be good for them. Could not be good. I don't know. Ratings and numbers. And all that pay-per-views, all that will matter. And we'll find out when we find out. Same thing with WB and the Netflix deal. And, you know, it's a 5-year deal with a renewal. It's not a 10-year deal all in. I think that's something Mark Shapiro from TKO likes to say is, oh, it's a 10-year deal. Netflix has an option at 5 years. People kind of forget that. So I know there's a lot of conjecture as far as, you know, oh, they spent all this money and all this stuff. They have a $20 billion development, content creation development budget. $20 billion with a B. I think they can afford WWE. Not too concerned. But we'll see. We'll see in 5 years. Maybe they want to renegotiate. Who knows? But yeah, I think it's way too early to tell with these type of things. But access, right? It's, say, you know, this happens. AEW merges into Paramount Plus and HBO Max and all this. It's going to be hard to find there too. Are they going to keep the Triller Plus thing? How does that work? There's just all these type of things. So when you around the world, I appreciate how difficult it can be for you to find wrestling. Because it was difficult for me to find it. I know how to do this stuff. I know. Speaking of things I know, let's talk about some AEW from last night. It didn't have a lot of buzz coming out of the show. Because, of course, with the opposition, it's always with some tough things to kind of break through. Of course, we had the Inspiration making their official on-screen debut on TV. And they have raised the ire already of the, who was that? Oh, the Brawling Birds, of course. Yes, this is, we might get this view, Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor. A tag team I really kind of like, and I think it can be fun. But yeah, the Inspiration will be making their TV debut in-ring this Wednesday in El Paso, Texas. Not against the Brawling Birds, but we're building that match at some point, perhaps at Revolution, which is coming up in just a few weeks. MJF defending the world title against Kevin Knight. That's a fun match as well. I don't want MJF to lose the world title at Revolution. And I also don't love the stip about Hangman having not being able to challenge for the world title anymore. I don't think anyone else does. But they've kind of painted where he kind of has to win, but also I don't think he is. Because I think MJF is doing a fun job as champion, a great job as champion, and he is competing all over the place. He is locked in. You can tell he's locked in. And matches like this, Kevin Knight is going to be a lot of fun. This coming out, of course, the Collision, and then we have Tekla defending against Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's World title coming up this Wednesday in El Paso, Texas. I expect Tekla to win that. Tekla is, you know, an interesting choice we're having with the world women's world title, with Tony Khan trying to get more women over at that top level or seen as top level stars. Chris Statlander and Tekla, they feel like more TBS title champions at this point. You know, Willow, for example. Will Nightingale should be in the world title picture. And Tekla, just the character, she came so quickly after Mariah May. It feels like there was almost like a substitute for her, even though it's a much different character and the expectation level is there and so on. There's something there just doesn't, I don't know. I'm not seeing her as an AEW Women's World Champion yet, but we'll kind of see how this run goes. You know, they certainly tried with Chris Statlander, and I think she needs to be in a non-speaking, almost like Maria Shafir. They just brought her along as just this badass that just beat people up. And Chris, she has this presence, but I think the promos just don't match it. I think that was a difficult time for the, and I think she had talked about in interviews, not being able to connect, or it was difficult. And I think the reason for that is the promos just aren't working. So just don't do them, you know, figure out a way around it. And, you know, this is part of having good creative control. But anyway, so we'll see some of that coming up on Wednesday. And we also have some returning stars. Returning stars being LFI, Rouge, and Dralistico. There's a star there. But we have one of these $200,000 four-way tag matches coming up next Saturday on Collision. Actually, this Saturday, rather. The Outrunners, who I'd completely forgotten about. Private Party, who made their return and haven't really done a lot since. I assume they win this. LFI, who are making their return. Of course, both guys coming off of injuries. And then the Swirl, good young team in Blake Christian and Lee Johnson. That's the only match announced for this Saturday from Tucson, Arizona. But it's interesting, you know, you kind of think about where do people fit when they come back from these injuries, like Rouge and Dralistico. I mean, Dralistico is basically a job guy, but Rouge they brought in and he's had some fun singles matches. He had a match with John Moxley. I think he had a match with Hangman Page, I believe, but just a fun kind of, you know, tough, hard-hitting wrestler, kind of really fits in well, but he's just been injured too much and off too much of these issues and whatever else is going on. And it's almost like you kind of forget these guys and they come back. It's like, who are they replacing, right? Nick Wayne, a guy who's come back from injury, and he made his return on Ring of Honor TV. So apparently they're going to kind of build him back slowly up there. Remember the whole thing, you know, Kip Sabian and all that. I assume that thing is dead. I don't expect to see Kip Sabian on TV anymore. I think maybe that time has passed. Not his fault. Maybe a new direction for Nick Wayne. Do they need his mom around anymore? I don't know. But where do they fit You can bring them in. But that means other people's TV time is gone. So it's just a, I think about with some of these people coming in is it's always going to replace somebody else. And you have a lot of people that aren't wrestling, and that's tough for them. Ring of Honor has the opportunity to be very, very stacked if they want to be. Very, very stacked. And it's just, I don't know, hoping some stuff, you know, gets figured out with all that. And coming up on the break here, and let's see. Yeah, we had, I haven't seen a ton of Collision last night, to be honest. We had Andrade taking on Ishii, which I heard was really hard hitting and fun. I'm very excited to watch that match a little bit later on. That was the main event of the night. Of course, Sisters of Sin against Statlander and Thunder Rosa. We had Tony Storm against Zeta Steel. Tony doesn't really seem to have much of a direction right now. Actually, it looks like the Maria Shafir match. Finally, we're going to get that at Revolution. That should be a lot of fun. And yeah, I think Revolution is turning out to be a fun lineup as well. The build for that's been good. We have Bandido and Andrade. That was made this week official. We have, Swerve Strickland, Brody King. That'll be a lot of fun as well. So some good stuff coming up for AEW. They've been on a really fun run, and I think they've been giving, kind of was talking about earlier, people forget about who fought who wrestled who. They've been doing more first-time matches and matches between interesting talents and top talents interchanging on the TV shows, and I think that's been a big change from the past where Tony Khan has really kept people apart. He's not doing that much anymore. We got Swerve and Kenny Omega on TV. I think that was great. We had Brody and MJF on TV. MJF has been on TV way more than he has in past years. And I think it's well done and in interesting matches as well. And I think that's good. Get more people against each other on TV, interesting matches, work your way into bigger matches down the road and so on. And make your TV that much more interesting. And it is going to affect the roster in a lot of ways. And I expect, as always, you don't really have any big shed of talent, but I don't know. We'll see what happens in your head. What's happening next? We're going to preview the week ahead. We're going to wrap up Wrestling Observer Live with myself, Josh Nason. Coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason. Final segment for the Sunday, March 1st. I greatly appreciate the time that you spent with me today. And as I mentioned earlier, my podcast on the Wrestling Observer website, Josh Nason's Punch Out, has come to an end. Archives are all fully available for Wrestling Observer subscribers, so you can listen to a ton of the episodes on both Spotify or Apple Podcasts. There are a few episodes recently on YouTube that are up as well. It was my decision to pull the plug. I got a lot of nice messages from people after, both on Twitter, Blue Sky. A couple people emailed me, and yeah, it was felt good. It felt good, and I greatly appreciate anyone that listened. But yeah, go check out the archives, and I'm certainly not done podcasting, just taking a different direction with some things in the future. I think if some things turn out right and some people get back to me, I have some fun stuff in your head. Speaking of ahead, let's look at the days ahead in terms of the schedule as we wrap things up. Of course, this Monday, we have WWE Raw at 8 p.m. Eastern per usual, the fallout from Elimination Chamber. Seth Rollins, I'm sure, will be on that show. NXT on Tuesday. We have AEW Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. No Collision this Wednesday. It's going to be taped live, of course, on Friday. I'm jumping ahead of myself. We have TNA Impact on Thursday, Ring of Honor on Thursday as well, SmackDown on Friday. And then this Saturday, we have both NXT Vengeance Day and AEW Collision and AAA on Fox going head to head to head. Imagine that. I'm sure we have some New Japan action as well that's not on my schedule here. But yeah, AEW Collision live from Tucson coming up this Saturday. And a lot of action ahead as the build towards Elimination Chamber, Revolution, WrestleMania 42. Fun times ahead. I'm glad you're with me to take it all in. And you're with WrestlingObserver.com, Sports Byline, wherever you're listening to this. Thank you much. Andrew Zarian back in the chair next week. My name is Josh Nason. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Wrestling Observer Live.